Good evening, everybody. It's 8:30 and welcome. It's Sunday, April 11th, 2021, and thank you for joining us for the Fear of the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media, who I'm going to give a little applause, and also a thank you to Joan for coming, who has been my helper eternal and person I can bounce things off with and argue about scores with and everything else, and we appreciate her very much. So thank you, Joan. Alrighty, tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode, back in the Precambrian era, when it last aired, and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. So welcome to what is technically the mid-season opener of Fear, Season 6, Episode 8. Normally, this is traditionally the mid-season finale, but that's not how the timing worked out because of COVID, another casualty. Fear will continue with Episodes 8 through 16, and that will end up putting us to June 6th of this year, if we go by, you know, one every weekend and so forth with what's left. World Beyond Season 2 is currently slated to air sometime in late 2021. We have no information verified as to when it begins as of yet, other than in 2021, officially said. June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for its run, and with 10 episodes in Season 2, that would take us to August 15th. And in 2022, there is a fourth series coming, a spinoff series fronted by Carol and Daryl. In late 2022 or 23, there will be a fifth show, an episodic roadshow-style story, an anthology, Tales of the Walking Dead. And when they say it's an anthology or it's episodic, what they mean is, for example, The Twilight Zone, for example, as opposed to Star Trek. The episodes would be self-contained and not a linear plot line that's dependent on each one before it. Pardon my hiccups. Okay, typically we start the show a half hour before the new episode of whatever The Walking Dead airs live each week, with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute, and we'll watch the new episode together and then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, 1 being, oh my God, it burns, get it off the air, and 10 is, this is absolutely perfect, I could die happy now, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented to us. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime, but I especially encourage you between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call in during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the link for that on our Facebook page and occasionally my Twitter, although I think I may have not gotten around to it tonight, but I have a lot on my plate. So grab the link and join us now or join us later if you must. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, meaning shortly, you can go to the episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or you can just play it on the page. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. You can also pick up a copy of the episode on iTunes, I believe, as well. All righty, I'm going to check in the chat room real quick and see Joan did not have anything to add. So let's continue. Tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead is entitled The Door. Official AMC synopsis is, a reunion with an old friend helps pull John Dory out of his darkest moment yet. Back at Lawton, Virginia demands answers. And as we often do, I have additional synopses. I have two for you tonight. One of them, the subtitle is labeled something with spoilers, but it doesn't, I don't know if this is a spoiler thing or not. We're going to find out as I read it, and I may abort, as I sometimes do if I find it goes too far, because AMC Plus actually aired this episode starting nearly a week ago. So lots and lots and lots of people have had time to see it already, and they may kind of forget in their commentary how to leave stuff out until those of us watching it properly live can see it. This is one of the reasons I am an AMC Plus subscriber, but I got it at one point so we could do what happened one week when my cable went out for some inexplicable reason, or at least the cable on the TV in my office. And then I ended up watching it on AMC Plus on my Amazon electronic device, whose name I will not name because she's sitting next to me and she always goes off when I call her by name. But she has video. And so I watched that and caught up to you guys because I didn't have commercials because that's part of what I pay for. Neener, neener. All right. Double checking on the commentary. Nothing to do. So let's go to the secondary synopsis. This is from denofgeek.com. It's another one of the sources that we do occasionally turn to. And this says, Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 returns with big Morgan moment. Subtitle, Morgan reconnects with someone from his past in Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 8. Watch an exclusive clip of the moment here. And this is by John Saavedra, S-A-A-V-E-D-R-A. This was written April 8th. It is flagged as this post having spoilers. So I'm going to continue, but understand that I may abort mission if I feel like it's too much. All right. Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 has been one of the darkest seasons of the show so far. I question that, but okay. Our heroes have become separated. Some left for dead while others were forced to join Virginia and her cruel group of pioneers who want all the survivors they meet to fall in line or die. When Morgan stood up to Virginia in Season 5, it ended very badly for him. Not only was his group broken, but so was his spirit. But Season 6 has been all about putting those pieces together for Morgan. And after a deadly encounter with a bounty hunter in the first half of the season gave him a new lease on life, Morgan has been busy plotting the downfall of the pioneers one strike at a time. By the mid-season finale, it seemed that Morgan had his winning card, Dakota, Virginia's rebellious sister who doesn't agree with her older sibling's methods. At first, Morgan planned to trade Dakota for the rest of his group. These are not spoilers. These are from the last episode, but we haven't seen the last stuff since November, so I'm reminding you guys of what just happened. He was convinced, and I think this was by Alicia, although the article didn't say, to take her with him to the secret place he's building for his people. But Morgan doesn't know that Virginia has something up her sleeve, too. Again, not spoilers because this is from the last episode. This has just been a long time. As we learned in the final minutes of Damage from the Inside, Episode 7, Virginia has her own trump card, which will significantly complicate things for Morgan and his friends in the mid-season premiere. The Door will deliver its biggest Morgan moment of the season when he reconnects with, spoiler, and I'm not going to tell you that part, but there were hints about it at the end of Episode 7, but I'm not going to bring them up. So there's a clip about it, and I'm going to leave the rest alone because I'm going to try not to spoil it because many of you, like me, deliberately weren't looking ahead, so I don't want to ruin it. All right. Here's the other article. Whoops, I'm having a pasting problem. Hold on. Can't take me anywhere, I swear. All right, this is from comicbook.com. And Cameron Bolomono, who's a regular writer that we often quote, says, Fear the Walking Dead Season 6B mid-season premiere will release 1 week early, which was written back on the 27th. And yes, AMC Plus allowed people to have access it actually went live Sunday, April 4th, a week ago when we were watching the end of Walking Dead Classic. Whatever, guys. All right. And by the way, there was some episode switching going on. Allow me to remind you, as the article brings up, the mid-season premiere was to be the mid-season finale. It was replaced with Damage from the Inside in November due to filming delays caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The Door now launches a 9-episode half-season where Morgan grows bolder in his efforts to find and reunite the rest of his survivors separated and subjugated by Virginia. They just mentioned that AMC Plus had this available early. Blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to scroll down here, but my mouse is being wonky. After the door came out on April 4th, subsequent episodes of Fear's 6th season will debut early on Thursday. So The Door was the only one that came out super, super early, I guess, to get people paying attention since we're coming back. But then they're going to go back to releasing it Thursday for the episode coming Sunday. And that will start with next week, episode 609, Things Left to Do, on April 15th. Joan comments in the chat that she remembers a few minutes ago when I was mentioning why I have it AMC Plus for moments like when I lost my cable, and she remembered that week and we made it work. Yes, we certainly did, and I have so much appreciation for you seeing the show live and helping me get oriented and being able to catch up with you guys, because I could skip the commercials and get moving ahead here. Alrighty, so back to commentary. This is a quote. I'm just going to say 608 is a huge episode, just the ramifications of it, the emotion of it, the intensity of it. I know why we didn't get it done. It was because of coronavirus delays. Walking Dead Universe Chief Content Officer and Fear Executive Producer Scott Gimple previously told comicbook.com about The Door, scripted by showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg. Continuing the quote, but I just saw the totally finished cut, everything we could get together, and I can't wait for people to see it. It's a really, really good episode. And there's a couple sequences here that I still think about that I knew what they were on the page. We had talked about them, but to see them realize how they came out was just huge. In Fear the Walking Dead 6B, I was trying to figure out if this is a summary or, okay, this is a general summary for the back half season. Quote, as Morgan's bid to free the remaining members of the group becomes bolder, Virginia grows increasingly desperate to find her sister and protect the settlements from forces working inside and outside her walls. The second half of season 6 reveals the impact of what living under Virginia's control has done to each person in this group, who once saw themselves as a family. New alliances will be formed, relationships will be destroyed, and loyalties forever changed. When everyone is forced to take sides, they discover the meaning of the end is the beginning. And that's the thing that people are spray painting around, I believe. All right, that's the end of that article. It's 8:43. Going to check the chat room. Nothing else going on, so let's go ahead and continue with my notes. Alrighty, writers and directors profiles. Da, da, da. Tonight's episode is written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, showrunners, and directed by Satro, Michael Satrazemes. And this is a frequent combination that we often see around the times when we're either doing finales or returns. Sorry, I had a little something in my throat. All right. Profile number one, Andrew Chambliss, has been the co-showrunner for Fear since season 4 opened, and he has been profiled multiple times before. So really what we do occasionally with people that are on fairly frequently is I will not read you the entire profile every time they come up because you've all heard it. So we usually just do kind of an update of what they're doing recently. All right, Chambliss has been heavily involved as a producer for Once Upon a Time for several seasons, from 2012 to 2017. He has been a story editor for Vampire Diaries, Spartacus, Dollhouse, and Bionic Woman, the 2007 version. He has previously written or co-written 10 episodes of Fear, st- starting with season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story? And the last previous to tonight was season 6, episode 1, The End is the Beginning. And like we mentioned earlier, you guys will find out what that means tonight. 9 of the 10 episodes he previously wrote that he did with Ian Goldberg. Tonight will be his 11th episode written for the franchise. And Ian Goldberg has been co-executive producer and showrunner along with Andrew Chambliss since the start of season 4 of Fear. He has also been profiled multiple times before, and so we will just catch you up. Goldberg also worked on Once Upon a Time as a writer and producer, as well as other TV shows. He has previously written or co-written 11 episodes of Fear, starting with season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story, and the last previous being The End is the Beginning. 10 of the 11 were co-written with Chambliss. Tonight will be his 12th episode he has written for the franchise. It suddenly occurs to me that the math doesn't quite add up that way, but Ian has credit for an episode he co-wrote with someone else. So I'm fuzzy how Andrew wrote 9 of the 10 with Goldberg, but Goldberg wrote 10 of the 11 with Chambliss. I will have to go later and figure out what happened to the math with this, because I do try to update what they've done since the last time we featured them. And sometimes it doesn't come out right. All right, Satro. Michael Edison Satrozemis has extensive movie and TV credits to his name. So again, we've bioed him many, many times before. We'll just summarize an update. Satro was some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010. And I don't mean to be frivolous about his title. I mean, he had various positions, and there's a long list. He was second unit director of photography for 3 episodes until 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 17, ending with The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 3, Monsters. He has directed 17 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14, and I have to go get my favorite wave for this, because I kept it just for this sort of thing. Yep, that was his first episode that he started directing with. And then the last one he directed is now Season 10, Episode 11, Morningstar. Satro has been co-executive producer for Fear. That's right, he's worked on both shows, but not on World Beyond, not yet. So he's been co-executive producer for Fear since Season 4, Episode 1, 2018, up to present, which is 39 episodes so far. He has directed 10 prior episodes of Fear, 5 in Season 4, 5 in Season 5, and 1 prior in Season 6 so far. Tonight will be his 11th episode that he's directed for Fear, the last previous being season six, episode 1, The End is the Beginning, also. He's also directing next week's episode 9, Things Left to Do. So we're going to give them some thank you applause for all their work on the show. We really appreciate you guys. Joan says in the chat room, still waiting on the update at Andrew Chambliss and his partner in crime, Ian Goldberg, that says he's being replaced, I can hope. You know, yeah, I try to be diplomatic about these things for the enjoyment of our listeners, but I don't think it's a secret that we're both kind of fed up with those guys right now and some of the directions they've taken the show. I think we're not too fond of and really kind of miss The Ranch and Kalataka and all those things. That was a better feel for the show, and something happened to it with when these guys came. But nobody listens to us, so nothing we can do right now. But I do think Joan and I are still kind of hoping that somebody else will become showrunner and maybe fix things the way Angela Kang has helped boost back up Walking Dead Classic. They need an Angela of their own. I don't think we can clone her, so, I digress. Trivia about tonight's episode. It will be the 77th episode of Fear overall. This episode marks Maggie Grace's 25th appearance on Fear the Walking Dead, starting with season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story? She is the actress that plays Althea Shevchuk-Shigeski. I had to comb the internet to find out how to pronounce her Polish hyphenated long last name. And that is the best that I could come up with, and I hope it's correct. I know she said it in the episodes at some point, but she says it super fast. So, anyway, I tried. Thank you for being on the show, Maggie. Co-stars tonight are Justin Smith as Marcus, who is a pioneer. He's one of the security types, what they call a ranger. Justin Gray Henry plays a ranger, technically referred to as Pioneer 3. This is his first appearance. There is an uncredited actor who plays Rufus. And hold on. I'm wondering if I got moved around. No. No, that's correct. Uncredited as Rufus. And deaths to be announced, of course, because we don't know yet. Last episode trivia, Damage from the Inside, episode 7. First appearance of the character Samuels, who is also a Pioneer Ranger. It is a female character. Samuels is her last name. We don't know her first name. No one uses it. I don't even know if she's told them what it is. We have no lines about that. First and last appearance of the character Terry. First and last appearance of the character Ed. The title of the episode, Damage from the Inside, refers to Victor's repeated assertions to Alicia to follow his lead so he can sabotage the pioneers from within. It's revealed that Virginia killed her own parents. Alicia reveals that she's been intending to return to the Del Diamond baseball stadium, which isn't far away. I question the fuck out of that statement. Del Diamond Baseball Stadium was in the middle of Texas, which is incredibly far away from where they ostensibly are. And they're playing fast and loose with the locations here. Because if you remember, Morgan dragged them away ostensibly to head towards Virginia, the state, not the psycho lady. And they are not that close to where Del was. So somebody's playing around here. And I don't know how all this happened, but this is what they're claiming. Fine, whatever. However, Alicia now recognizes that she was only trying to hold on to something that's already gone. Maybe, because I expect us to have Madison return, to be honest with you. This really smells like they're setting that up and trying to look like they're not. Alicia nevertheless attempts to leave with Charlie and Dakota for the stadium after an argument with Morgan, but ultimately changes her mind. Grace is revealed to have been imprisoned by Virginia and Lawton inside a secret cell in order to prevent Morgan from finding her. This is the second mid-season finale of Fear the Walking Dead that is not the 8th episode of the season, the first being Shiva. Other cast members from last week, co-stars Justin Smith as Marcus, Pioneer, Bobby Grace as Ranger Samuels, Woman Pioneer / Ranger. Uncredited. Unknown actor, not in IMDb, not to be found by the Googles. Unknown actor, male, played Terry, Dakota's missing security escort, whom Ed enhances into a mutant walker. Trivia about Terry. Terry is one of the very few characters in the Walking Dead franchise to have an eye injury. He's one of two characters to have lost both his eyes, the other character being Beta. Deaths from last week. Terry, alive, confirmed fate, zombified. Ed, crazy taxidermist, played by Raphael Sabarge. Nancy, confirmed fate, Ed's former dead wife, Emily's mom. There is no actor listed because we don't see them. Emily, Ed's daughter, no actor. Dakota and Virginia's parents, confirmed fate, no actors listed because we don't see them. 10 unnamed pioneers, alive and zombified. And one horse, confirmed fate. No goofs, errors, bloopers listed from last episode. It's 8:54, so I'm going to keep going, see what we can squeeze in. Jonah has commented, oh, good Lord, this is an extended episode, too, listed as running from 9 to 10:14. All right. Well, yeah. I will understand if you duck out. I will be here regardless. 8:55. Cast birthdays this week. We only have one. Actor Benedict Samuel, who played Owen, the leader of the Wolves, was born April 15th, and he is from Hamilton, Victoria, Australia. So let's give him some happy birthday cheer. Thank you. All right. Featured music, I think we can squeeze in. Last episode, episode 7, Damage from the Inside. There are several songs that Ed plays over the intercom throughout the episode. These songs include, there are more, but people didn't catch them all. Tonight You Belong to Me by Nancy Sinatra, playing in the background of the lodge when Alicia enters. Jeepers Creepers by Bing Crosby, played right afterwards, until the sequence in which Ed tranquilizes Alicia as she passes out. And Going Down the Road Feeling Bad plays when Dakota and Ed play chess in the lodge. All right, unaccounted for characters we are not doing. Well, you know what? I'm going to read this once because I haven't read it in quite some time. And it's different than The Walking Dead as to why people are not here. So Taka, Kalataka Walker, and Lee, Crazy Dog, Proctor John, Diana, and I still insist, possibly Tracy Otto, because I'm not letting go of Emma Caulfield and how all that ended. Also, we still have no idea how the miniseries Passage connected to season 3 or 4 or anything at all. And if it did not, that's pretty lame. I understand with COVID why they might not now be doing these sorts of things where they used to do the webisodes and then it would line up with the next season of Fear coming out. I can get why they maybe laid off that. But the one that they did last ended badly, and they never cleaned it up, and I'm going to keep picking on you guys every so often, because you can't just, like, not clean it up. All right, 8:57, we've still got time, so let's do Talking Dead Couch. Morgan himself, Lenny James, Sharpshooter John Dory, Garrett Delahunt, Nurse Extraordinaire June, Jenna Elfman, and for her Talking Dead debut, Zoe Coletti, a.k.a. Dakota. And let's give them some applause for those long titles. Okay, kids. It's 8:58. Wow, I am very surprised we're getting through this much material before 9 o'clock. I'm not going to read further because I'm going to probably cut you off in a minute so that we can get ready to watch the live episode. Next up is going to be the remaining, what I do know, of the back half of Fear Season 6, episodes and so forth, and then upcoming shows in NDB Media. So I'm going to pause there. It's 8:58. We are about to go live in a minute and a half. So I tell you what, let's go ahead and go dark, and I will see you guys at commercial break number one. Thank you for joining us. Okay, it's 9:10, and technically this is the first commercial break because the other break that they had, they went right through with no commercials, oddly. I was beginning to wonder if somehow I had AMC Plus up. Jonah's starting with a 5. I'm starting at a 5.25, and I'm torn about it. I think it's not really a secret that we're not even fond of most of this storyline. It's getting tiresome to have completely idiotic people manage to stay in charge and people stabbing each other in the back this way. And I know that these plots are based on real life behavior and sometimes people are dumb. But on the other hand, in a scenario like this, nature abhors a vacuum. And if you're dumb, I don't know how you stay ahead of anything, how you stay alive. This scenario shouldn't be happening at all. Here we are. So, All right, we're at 5 and 525, and it's 9/11, and we have a couple minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and give you what I know of the back half of Fear season 6. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to double check something before I read this to you. I want to see if we have any further episodes. So if I have a longer list to give you guys, that would be good. But I need to check a particular source where I often get these things from and see if they have any episodes past what I wrote down. Ugh. Okay, season 6, part 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. Okay, it looks like I do have current information because it doesn't go past anything. I don't have all of the names of the rest of the season. And I imagine part of that is that there's been problems completing it because of quarantine. All right, so what I do know, back half of Fear season 6. All righty. Episode 77 overall, episode 8 here, The Door. We know this tonight. 78/9, Things Left to Do. Nick Bernadoni is the writer. Satro is the director, April 18th. They have some of the Loki stuff, is a trailer for Loki things, so I may not get to finish this. We'll see. 79/10 is called Handle with Care. Channing Powell is the writer. Director has not been announced. That's April 25th. We have a Blue Moon commercial, so I have a minute. Maybe I will finish. Episode 80/11 is called The Holding. It's written by Ashley Cardiff and David Johnson, and that's on May 2nd. Episode 81/12, In Dreams. Writer and director has not been announced. That's May 9th. 82/13 is called JD, which I assume is John Dory. Writer has not been announced. Aisha Tyler is the director, and that's May 16th. All right, we're not back yet, but we probably will be soon. 83/14, no announcement, May 23rd. 84/15 is May 30th, and 85/16 season finale is June 6th. And then we don't know what's going to happen yet. We assume it will be World Beyond, followed by Walking Dead Classic Season 11, Talking is Hard and Thinking is Harder. All right. This is another trailer for something on AMC, something kind of weird and supernatural, waiting for the title so I can tell y'all what it is in case you want to check it out. I don't recognize any of it yet. I haven't seen this particular trailer often enough to know what's going on here. Some very interesting quotes, but they're going too fast. Okay, Gangs of London, that's what it is, and it'll follow this. So, God, all right, if this is going until 10:15, and then we have Gangs of London, that means Talking Dead's going to be postponed again, and I'm pissed. All right, we are back, going dark, and I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, kids, it's 9:22, and scoring time. I'm staying with my 5-2-5 because I can't go lower. Joan's actually feeling charitable enough to come up to 5-2-5 with me, although she's also torn and decided to give in, whereas I'm torn and decided to stay put. And that's all fine. Joan and I agree on being irritated with this commentary that Alicia was going to head back to Del Diamond Stadium because it's nearby where they are, which is, to the best that I can figure out from where they've been running around, impossible for it to be very close. We're also fussing about the fact that John Dory apparently has limitless ammo running around in his pockets and not taking up any weight because he has bags of holding in each pants pocket or something. And also, Joan says she's finding it hard to believe that John Dory got this far and walked away from June just so he could kill himself. And I told Joan I would bring these things up, and they said, if they don't kill that bitch soon, I may be the one taking a hostage. Ha ha. Oh, and now that's all he's got left for bullets, right? All right. So we are fussing, and we've got a little bit of a break here, commercial break, although I am almost to the end of my notes, but let's see what else we got. So other upcoming shows on NDB Media that you guys can check out include Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega, which will next be on tomorrow night, the 12th, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. This is currently being hosted on StreamYard, which is a different service than this. But you can go to the NDB Media page on Facebook and get more information. Or also look on our page on Blog Talk Radio to get some information, at least on when the shows are. I don't think they posted where the StreamYard is on this service because it's a competitor. Anyway, Random Access Week in Review is typically Tuesdays. So I guess the next one will be 4:13, and that's also at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the elegant entertainment of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they discuss another night of TV. They haven't been announcing the episodes ahead of time, so I can't give you guys a preview on that. But check them out Tuesday night. Wednesday night, The Rock and Roll Shrink, Wednesday the 14th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. The Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our upcoming topic this week will be addiction recidivism. It's kind of based on the news about what happened to rap singer DMX recently, and we're going to be talking about that in detail. Travel Itch Radio on the 15th, on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. San Francisco's Pier 39, Bayside Entertainment Mecca adjacent to Fisherman's Wharf, is the best place to catch a sightseeing cruise between the Golden Gate and San Francisco-Oakland Bay bridges. Learn more when Travel Itch Radio presents two guests, Pier 39 Harbor Master Sheila Chandor and Blue and Gold Fleet President Patrick Murphy, son of the cruise line's founder. Dan Schlossberg and co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee will present these guests. All right, we are in a Pedigree commercial and now in a car commercial. So that is all for those notes. I'm actually kind of looking around. Sometimes I have stored links to articles that I can read to you guys, although a lot of the links I have now are for articles that are very old, so I don't know how you guys feel about that, if you want to talk about any old stuff or not. Joan has mentioned John Dory is right in that he isn't right in the head. Not sure what condition it is that caused that personality shift from I don't want to kill anyone anymore to not blinking an eye before taking out the guy on the horse. If I had to take a guess, it sounds like possibly a variant of PTSD. And we're back, so let's see if we can figure it out. Thanks, and see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys. It is 9:34. We're at break number three. Joan and I are staying at 525. It's not that this is a god-awful episode, but it is just tedious and plain, and it's taking so long for so little to happen. So I'm kind of not feeling too generous with the scoring. Let me read Joan's comments in the chat. She says, John Dory is right that he isn't right in the head. Not sure what condition it is that caused personality shift from I don't want to kill anyone anymore to not blinking an eye before taking out the guy on the horse. I know I read that to you guys previously. All right, hold on. Season 6, Episode 8, The Door. All right, just trying to get some notes going here. I don't have a whole lot of articles and things to read you guys, and this thing is going to be going on for, geez, it was 9:35, another 45 minutes, for God's sake. And then Joan had noted earlier, Mr. Sharpshooter needed two shots to get to that guy. And I'm not sure if I'm feeling this whole plot about John Dory's dad's car that they were going to fix together, because I've actually had cars that sat outside, and it's pretty much common knowledge that after they sit for a long time, squirrels and other critters get up in there and chew things or nest in things and do stuff to it. And I'm pretty certain that car has been sitting outside unprotected for a hell of a long time. So I really don't know why they're entertaining the notion that Morgan can just spend a little while in a garage and then magically make it come back to life. I think that's really pushing their luck. All right. There's a trailer for something on Fox. TWDUshop.com. There's things to buy. And now we're in a Kit Kat commercial. Okay. I think we're caught up. Let me see here. Hey, Joan. Question for you. So I have several links about stuff, and almost all of them are very old news as far as fear. They're from a year or two ago, just hanging around. I mean, we never got around to talking about them. Do you want me to open these up and we can kind of read over them? Do you want to talk about that sort of thing or kind of over it? Let me know. I've got about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got about six of those. And then I've got interviews with cast. And those were done in 2018, but it's just the cast member talking. So I don't know if that might be possibly something we want to talk about. Let's see what Joan has to say in the chat room. Nothing yet on that. 9:37. We're going until 10:14 tonight. And there's very odd Cheetos commercial? Yeah, Flaming Hot Cheetos commercial. That's taking place in a recording studio, and it's bilingual. Thankfully, it has subtitles because I don't speak Spanish. Nor do I eat Flaming Hot anything, especially Cheetos. So obviously not meant for me. Joan says she doesn't know what else to talk about at this point either. Yeah, and, you know, I'm sorry for you guys that I did not have more material to talk about, but that's kind of just the way it goes on occasion. I tell you what I will do is let's start with the interviews with different actors because they are a little more date neutral. They are going to be older, but at least they're not going to be about a particular time necessarily. All right. I think we're having a Gangs of London promo again. I'm trying to pull this up. The first interview is with Alexa Nissenson, who plays Charlie. And, of course, because I...
Now in Mark's account.
Pardon me. Hold on. Because of her name being a certain electronic device. All right. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number 4, I think. 9:50, and that was a weird-ass commercial for The Walking Dead Season 11. Although it definitely smells of CRM crossover coming with all this reprocessing shit. Joan is not going higher than 525. I'm really kind of not either. This is tedious, same old tricks. Like, why do we have this episode? What is it for? Nobody knows. It's John and Morgan going back and forth. All right. Going back to the comments in between the last time we voted and this time, Jonah said, I'm not sure what else we can talk about at this point. The expectation that we can suspend disbelief to the extent it takes for this show is getting really old. These actors are better than this. And yeah, Morgan says he got the truck running. I was fussing about that. And also, you know, between Morgan magically getting a truck running that shouldn't run, and John Dory having way more ammo than he looks like he can carry. And so I'm saying praying to Our Lady of the Infinite Ammo. And Joan says, look, the tires on the truck aren't even flat. I actually own a U-Haul personally, and I blew the engine a few years ago. And let me tell you, those damn tires are flat. So, and I'll have to get it fixed later. This is not really important. Better add Our Lady of Infinite Miracle truck parts and forever sturdy bridges. Yes. And the whole truck getting stuck on a couple of walkers down there, you know, a nice country truck would not get stuck on a rotten body. And then Jonah's joking about teenage drivers. Well, you know, that's fine. Dakota probably didn't have a typical teenage upbringing. So we both agree that Morgan outing John Dory's hiding place so he can't go back to it was a serious prick move. I don't like how people who say that they're family do such incredibly stupid things to each other. All right, so now that we've gotten all of this fussing out of the way, we have Gangs of London, Fear the Walking Dead, Creepshow on AMC+. And we are not going back. We're going to a commercial. So let's see about this interview with Alex A. Nissenson, who plays Charlie on Fear the Walking Dead. She talks about growing up along with her character and connecting with Reuben Blades. And they ask her first, what changes have you noticed in Charlie's character since you joined the show? Bear in mind, this was written a year or two ago. Answer, I think Charlie is definitely a bit more settled now. She does still have some trust issues, but this group has taken her in and they've taken care of her. The biggest change you'll see in Charlie is confidence. She's learning, like the rest of the group, that she does have worth and value and that her actions don't define her. Last season, we saw her contemplate taking her own life because she really thought she wasn't redeemable. We also continue to see her look up to Alicia. She's really growing up. All right, question number two. The group has dedicated themselves to helping people and giving back. What's that like for Charlie, who has spent so much time with Mel and the Vultures? Answer, despite everything that happened last season, Charlie was definitely a victim of circumstances. She lost her parents and she really had nobody. Mel taught her the way to survive and it was kill or be killed mentality. She was a child and she didn't know what to do. She was just trying to make sense of the world and the losses of everybody. Now she's with this group who has different opinions and she's finding herself again. She wants to be useful and give back. All right, and now we're back, so I'll read you this at the next break. Thank you. It's 9:59. I'm going to stay at 525 because I can't go lower, but I am so effing pissed. So apparently, Dakota just shot John Dory. And if she pushed him in the river, things don't look good for somebody to help him the way they helped Morgan. You know what, Joan? I'm giving you a fucking pass to break the rules. If you want to go lower, I'm going to let you. There's no penalty because, oh, my God. You know, look at the flowers, Lizzie. Okay, Dakota, I am done with you. Just done. There have been too many of this trope of these broken kids randomly just deciding to take out major characters and had their death be completely capricious and meaningless because the kids are broken. Joan has said, now that I've given her license, a 3 is generous at this point. I'm not going to talk her out of it. I will still be here. We will do the show. I will show up for these things. But right now, I am a big bucket of sorry that I'm watching this. And even more pissed, it's going on 15 more minutes. And further pissed that I may have to wait for Talking Dead until afterwards. Let me look at my cable guide here. Talking Dead is not on until 11:15. Super not happy about that because tomorrow's a work night, and I don't feel like staying up extra late to do all this mess. Okay, unhappy. I don't want to watch Gangs of London before. Here's Chris Hardwick talking about Talking Dead, although I have him muted. But I'm sure that he's saying something about who's going to be on and so forth. Actually, let me go back and just read that for you guys one more time in case you do want a peek at that. That who's on the couch is Lenny James, Garrett Dillahunt, Jenna Elfman, and Zoe Colletti, a.k.a. Dakota. She's going to get booed. Well, thank God she's not on the actual couch because I think the audience would fucking riot at this point. John Dory's possible death. I mean, after what happened with Morgan, I don't know. But this is not okay. All right. We're back in a commercial. I'm going to go back and read some more about talking with Charlie's actress. Okay, third question. Many of the characters are seeking redemption and looking to leave the past behind. Where's Charlie at in all of that? Answer. She's right there with everybody else. She has to move on and forgive herself. I think she still has regrets and wishes the past were different, but she's trying to make up for it by doing good right now. Question. As Charlie grows up, so do you. What's that been like? Answer. Yeah, anytime you can portray a character that goes through so much change, it's very exciting as an actor. I love getting to know Charlie and bringing her to life. She's so complex and has so much going on inside her head. It's been an amazing journey. On a personal level, Charlie is definitely helping me find my voice. She feels like she's grown up so fast. It's cool. It's so cool to see her continue to change and transform into her own person. All right, still commercial. So, question, Charlie is the one who finds that hot air balloon. So now you know how many episodes ago this was. What's it like to see her be respected as a valuable member of the group, especially at such a young age? Answer, in the apocalypse, there's no reason why teenagers can't be useful or contribute. Well, really anytime. That's me saying that, not her. I love that we can see her bring this crazy cool idea to the group to potentially rescue everyone. Age isn't a limit. All right, we've got the gangs in New York stuff, so probably this is last one. Question, in episode 4, you spent a lot of time with Reuben Blades, who's been a part of the story since the beginning. What was that like? Although we're about to probably go back in a minute, so maybe I won't get the answer to that until the next break, and then we'll see if we finish this out. All right, we're back. I will see you guys probably at the end break. We'll see. Okay, guys, it's 10:14. I didn't finish the article, but we can read it again next time. Because I'm going to need something to talk about next time. I just cannot even with this episode. That's all I really got to say. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Yeah, Joe's like, I cannot even. I've lost the ability to even. So next week is Things Left to Do. Thank you to everybody who's joined us tonight and to those who might be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. So please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you guys next time. Good night.